So for the second week running, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John 3, verse 8. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Well, the devil has a very good PR department. The devil is the god of this present darkness, and he makes sure he's viewed in the way that most suits him. He always reacts most strongly when the biblical truth about him is opened up, because the devil and his support staff have worked long and hard to make sure that the truth about him is buried deep under mounds of misinformation. For example, in popular culture, he may be viewed either as a cheeky, fun character or as an insanely destructive sadist. Either viewpoint is controlled by the devil's PR department. We can all see how his image consultants developed his brand awareness as a naughty but nice figure, the character dressed in red, carrying a plastic pitchfork, associated with theme parties and cartoons. And this cheeky prankster view of the devil obviously is a rejection of Jesus' view of the devil, but it makes him seem harmless and fun. But the devil's not naive. He knows that if that is the only devil image in popular culture, then there's always a chance that people might see beyond that, that there's more to it than that. So he seems to have employed another PR company who pursued a different strategy. And in this view of the devil, he's a psychotically sadistic spirit, interested only in random, mindless violence and destruction. And in this guise, you know, he's the standard storyline for horror B-movies, always outwitted by mere human beings at the end of the story. This kind of devil is far too crass and obvious to pose any fundamental threat to human society, because he's just so obvious. Well, these are the images that we're used to. But when we come to the Bible, we find a much deeper and more sophisticated reality. Jesus always shows us the truth, and in him we are shown the truth about the devil. Remember, the devil is not Jesus' opposite number. The devil is a mere creature that Jesus created along with everything else at the beginning of the universe. So when Jesus tells us the truth about the devil, we can be confident we're getting ultimate reality. Well, in the Bible, we read that the devil was the most wonderful of all the creatures, perfect in beauty, unmatched in intelligence. He was placed in the original Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, and he was a special guardian cherub. He was given a place of great honor and had free access into the presence of the living God. But from this exalted position of honor and responsibility, the devil became proud, and he initiated a rebellion against our Lord that Adam and Eve joined, and in a terrible alliance of evil, humanity and the devil turned away from the light and life of our glorious Lord. Exiled from the mountain of God, bound to the earth, the devil has used his vast intelligence and craft to blind and enslave his partners in crime, the human race. And we can see the power of the devil over the human race, because as a race, we perform the works of the devil, as is described here in John's first letter, rather than the works of the eternal holy God. I remember seeing a book entitled, I didn't read the book, but the title was so fascinating, Satan Alive and Well on Planet Earth. That's a great truth. We might imagine he lives and rules hell, but in truth, hell is the very last place the devil wants to be. Hell is the place designed as the final place of punishment for the devil and his servants. No, the devil is exiled to the earth and is one of the most powerful and frightening creatures in the universe. None of us can outwit him or even limit him. None of us can understand his plans or answer his objections and questions. No way. We're not his equal. Yeah, in spite of all the wonderful and inspiring things that humanity does, we need to realize there is a malevolent God of this age who directs us to do his works. So if the world is enslaved to the works of the devil, what are the works of the devil? Surely the world could be a lot worse than it is. So what are the works that Lucifer has imposed on this passing age? In our text for this morning, we're told that Jesus was born in order to destroy the works of the devil. So if we're going to understand this key verse from the Bible, we must ask, what are the works of the devil? It's a good question. And you may remember that Jesus had a fascinating conversation with certain religious followers about what it means to be a child of Satan or a child of God. And the Apostle John, who wrote this letter that we're looking at now, he recorded that conversation in chapter 8 of his gospel. And it's probably the teaching of Jesus that lies behind this section of 1 John that we're studying this morning and that we studied last week. Words that John, he must have remembered John 8, that conversation recorded in John 8, and inspired him to write this section that we're looking at. So let's listen carefully to these words of Jesus from John chapter 8, as he explains the works of the devil and the connection between the devil and the human race. And it's from John chapter 8 and verse 41, if you want to turn it up. Jesus said, we'll go from verse 41 of John chapter 8. Jesus said, "You are doing the things your own father does." "We're not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and now I'm here. I've not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you don't believe me." So there it is. Jesus refers to these works of the devil, the things he's been doing since the beginning of his evil career. Jesus notes how humanity belongs to the devil, which seems such strong language, that the humanity lives out the desires of the devil. Jesus identifies the devil as the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning, lies and murder. Well, what does this mean? Well, the devil is the ultimate mass murderer. He has caused the death of every human being who ever lived because of the original lie that he told. We were created to live forever. And we can never get used to the fact that we have to die. We know we're not born to die. We can't get used to dying. We die like now, like mortal beasts, because we listened to and believed the lie of the devil. What was the lie that murdered the human race? Well, he told Eve that if she pleased herself, she would not die. The devil's great lie was that it was safe to be selfish, that it's harmless to disobey the Lord of life as we serve ourselves. In 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 11, it is simply called the lie, the powerful delusion that makes people think it's okay to delight in wickedness. Listen to how the lie was originally told. Genesis 3 from verse 1. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not surely die,' the serpent said to the woman." The serpent, who is the devil, first questions the word of God and then outright contradicts him. He told our first parents we would not die if we acted out of self-interest. He told us we would not die if we turned away from the word of God. And he was lying. The billions of graves across this dying world all cry out that the devil lied to us. And yet as a race, we still believe the lie. We still carry out the works of the devil. We still believe that selfishness is harmless, that it's safe to ignore Jesus. And the devil doesn't need us to plot terribly cunning schemes of violence and destruction. No, the lie he tells us, the lie we love to believe, is that it's okay to pursue self-interest, that we can please ourselves, that the way of Jesus is wrong or boring or unfulfilling or restrictive or unnecessary or old-fashioned or not applicable to me. Think about when the devil actually tempted Jesus. All he constantly whispered was that Jesus should use his power and privilege for himself. That's all the temptation was. Use your power and privilege for yourself. It is the first and last temptation that the devil brings. And Jesus is the only one who has consistently and completely resisted it. The rest of us, we like the devil's lie. Soothed by selfishness, in vast ranks we willingly march on over the cliff of death into the gaping abyss of eternity, into the outer darkness, away from the life of God. And the devil's murderous lies continue to work their power over the human race. Well, what's the answer to this? Can we escape the lie? Can we? Can we escape the works of the devil? If we as a race belong to our murdering, lying father, the devil, then how can we find another father? How can we belong to someone who will tell us the truth and give us eternal life? Well, let's hear from the scriptures that we're studying this morning. 1 John 3 from verse 7. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. Least of all the devil, of course. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil's been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he's been born of God. This is how we know who are the children of God and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Don't be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil. His brothers were righteous. Don't be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know we've passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who doesn't love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions, sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Well, it's shockingly frank, isn't it? If we don't love each other, well, then the seeds of murder are growing in our hearts and minds, and we do not have eternal life. If we do not love each other, then it proves that we are children of the devil. We might feel we're independent, that, you know, I don't do the works of anyone. I make my own decisions in life. I do my own thing. Or we might think we're religious, or even that we're Christians. And yet, the Apostle John shines the light of Jesus onto us. If we do not practically love each other, if we do not lay down our lives for each other, then we are children of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the devil's works. He alone is capable of breaking the devil's hold on us. Jesus alone was capable of confronting the lie and showing us the truth. The devil's lie is that the path to life is selfishness, that we can follow our own opinions and feelings without suffering death. Now, the reason Christians are so excited by the death of Jesus is not only that by it our sins are forgiven and the condemnation over us is gone, but also, the death of Jesus revealed the lie for what it is. Jesus unmasked the devil's lie by dying for us. When Jesus turned his back on his own interests and lived and died for our interests, giving up all his own glory and life for us, what happened? Well, according to the devil's lie, anyone who trusts in the living God and rejects their own life will find nothing but frustration and misery. When Jesus opposed the devil's lie, laying down his life for others, he found eternal life, not misery and emptiness and futility. In his self-sacrificial death, Jesus exposed the devil's lie. In giving his life as an atonement for sin, he opened the path to life. He proved that we find our lives when we lose our lives. His obedience and trust and self-sacrifice reconciled us to God, gave us a new birth, and set us on a righteous way of eternal life. The works of the devil are lies and murder, selfishness and doubt, hatred and greed, religion and legalism, and from petty self-protection through cowardice and ambition, right to the gross and obvious evils of gossip and greed and hedonism. As long as we put our own interests first, we do the works of the devil. When we trust and love the Lord Jesus Christ, not only does he deal with our past, but he gives us a new way to live in the present, a way of eternal life that stretches away into an endless future. Well, Christmas is one of the key festivals in the year when we have an opportunity to marvel and meditate on that glorious wonder that is Jesus of Nazareth, the eternal Son of the Father. Christmas comes and we so easily become absorbed in the whirl of it all. The presents, the meals, the TV, parties, visit of family and friends, everything. It's all great fun. And yet, how much time do we really give to the one person who stands between us and the abyss? The one person who can deliver us from the power of the devil. The one person who came to destroy the works of the devil. How much time do we really give to him? If we're honest with ourselves, you know, not how we wish we kept Christmas, or not how we intend to keep Christmas, how we really spend the festival, then what significance do we actually give to Jesus? Is Jesus everything to us? When we sing the carols, are the songs of the angels really reflected in our hearts and minds? Do we genuinely cling to him as desperate drowning souls clinging to the one lifeboat as the ship is sinking under the abyssal waves? That's what Christmas is all about, really. When all hope was gone for the nations of the world, alienated from God, cut off from the covenant of life, then the man for all nations was born to offer us safe passage to the majestic Holy One who lives in the heavens. Into the camp of death came the liberating force. Into the sinking world of darkness came the true light. Into our sinful race, the Holy One was born. Hark a voice from yonder manger, soft and sweet doth entreat, flee from woe and danger. Brethren, come, from all doth grieve you. You are freed. All you need I will surely give you. Therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be ascribed all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, all the majesty, all the power, and all the worship, now and forever. Amen.